Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
We're turning to baseball because we have ourselves a Game 7 in the World Series tonight, which doesn't happen every year, to say the least. If you haven't been watching the LA Dodgers against the Houston Astros, then by all accounts, you've been missing out. We're joined on the line by David Wahlstein from the New York Times. First, last night's game finished Dodgers 3, Astros 1, which is taking us into Game 7.
Peterson hits it in the air to left. Back at the wall. It's gone! Peterson with his third of the World Series. And he's made it 3-1 Dodgers in the seventh. This series too good to end in six. Dodgers force a game seven. They win it 3-1.
David Wahlstein of the New York Times. Hello, sir.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Hey, I was just thinking as we enter 2018 very shortly, it will soon be a full World Cup cycle since we lived the high life in Rio.
That's right. And as exciting as that was, I got to say, I'm expecting game seven tonight to match it.
Yeah, so talk to us. I will confess here, I haven't seen any of this, and I'm hearing amazing things, and it's not every year that World Series will go to Game 7. So we've been treated to something here with the LA Dodgers against the Houston Astros. Very, very special. Why is it so good? What happens when these two clash? What's the alchemy here?
Well, I think it's a matter of just the back-and-forth nature of the games. One team going up, the other team coming back. With big home runs and it's just been several games like that but I don't think anybody's won more than two in a row at this point, so it's you know, inside each game it's been back and forth, dramatics, home runs, right, you know, right till the very end, and then the entire series has been that way too. So as Joe Buck, the announcer there, said on TV, this series really does deserve a ultimate Game 7.
Yeah. LA Dodgers, it's their first World Series appearance since 1988. And Houston Astros have never won the World Series. The Dodgers have won it six times. The Houston Astros have never won the World Series. What really caught my eye at the start of this World Series was people started on Twitter and various other outlets pointing out the 2014 Sports Illustrated front cover, which simply said, "You're 2017 World Series champs, the Houston Astros." Mm. At the time, of course, the Astros were pretty much as bad as it gets. They were a terrible team. It seems the Astros have taken Moneyball, sabermetrics to the next level. Is that a fairly simplistic version of things?
Yep, but I think it's an accurate one. They are deeply, deeply embedded in the analytics, the statistical side of the game, and it's really worked out well for them. But also, I mean, they've had some sensational young international free agent signings, like Jose Altuve, the second baseman, who's, I believe, 5'6", and is right now he's probably the best player in the game right now. I guess he's sort of the Lionel Messi of baseball. He's, you know, small and just so dangerous. Mm. And then they have a guy named Carlos Correa, who's a big shortstop, who's just, you know, a great player. And then their third baseman is this kid that's just emerged in the World Series named Alex Bregman. And he's just dynamic at third base, really strong arm, fearless, makes really daring throws, good hitter. So, they really put together a very well-balanced, strong team. And they've also, you know, they've done something which isn't Moneyball. They've gone out and spent huge, huge amounts of dollars to get a pitcher like Justin Verlander, and they traded for him, and they spent a lot of money on him, $20 million for the next 2 years. Right. So it's a combination of both. But yeah, they're considered to be the most analytical team.
Okay, so I'm hearing much about their GM, Jeff Luhnow. And Jeff, in his day, a very impressive man, clearly. Jeff was a guy who has degrees in engineering and economics. He was a former blackjack dealer, and he worked in NASA. So Jeff clearly has a big brain and has turned it to baseball.
Yeah, well, that's the new trend, Joe. What happens is these smart guys have convinced the owners that they can put good, cheaper teams on the field. And if you want to impress an owner, you tell them that you can do it for less money. That's what they love. So they're all out there looking for these big brainiacs and their Ivy League assistants to come up with the flow charts and the analytical statistical data to get them cheaper players that are good. And that's just the way it is now. And the old time tobacco spitting, gut rubbing baseball guy is kind of being pushed to the side. But regardless of that, the game on the field, it's still the game on the field, and it's certainly in this World Series, it's been a really fun to watch. It's so too bad that people in Ireland, that it's going on in the early hours of the morning, because it's pretty compelling stuff.
Yeah. Well, my plan tonight is to record it, and I'll get up tomorrow morning.
Good idea.
And watch some of this.
Hey,
yeah.
One more thing about Jeff Luhnow is that he lived in Mexico for a while when he was young, when he was growing up, and his favorite player was Fernando Valenzuela of the Dodgers, and he became a huge Dodger fan.
Wow.
So here he is now, the general manager of the opposite team going against the Dodgers.
Yeah, because, I see, even it's true of all teams, it seems, these very smart, accomplished people turning their attention to baseball. Like, the Dodgers' top decision makers are an ex-Wall Street analyst and an MIT graduate with a doctorate in philosophy. So I'm sure when he's getting his doctorate in philosophy, he's not thinking, this is going to make me in the baseball world. Is it really as simple as, okay, I appreciate all the owners would have seen the Red Sox and Sabermetrics work for the Red Sox, but basically a lot of them watched Moneyball and thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I think it was even before... You're probably right that may have crystallized it for them, but I think also it's just they saw the success. They knew that the Oakland A's were doing something like that, and they had success with it, 15 years ago or more. And so they were like, what about this? What about the Oakland A's making the playoffs with a payroll that's a tenth of the Yankees? And even the Yankees are like, why are we spending all this money? We're not necessarily winning it every year because we spend the most money.
Yeah.
So even the Yankees do it as well. And so it's if you want to survive in this business as an executive, you better either be smart or pretend or fool someone that you're smart.
Yeah, like much of life.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I found that works. That works
it
great.
Does. Yeah. That said, the Dodgers do have the highest payroll in the league, so they're churning out $265 million in wages across the year. So it is a combination, I guess, of smarts and money.
That's true. But you know what's funny? Hmm. A lot of their money is what we call dead money. It's players that aren't even around, Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford and players like that. So they also have some of these younger players that might be a product of that.
Yeah.
By the way, the other thing you were mentioning about the GM, Farhan Zaidi, who is very well educated, very smart, very analytical, and he's also a big Oasis fan.
Wow. We're okay with that here. Yeah, that's good. So you made a point there where you said that the game is still the game. So has this influx of data and intelligence and analysis, ultimately, I presume, based on your line, the game is still the game, that the most important attributes in the game 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago are pretty much still the most important attributes? Or with the influx of what we might call the Moneyball culture, are teams winning games in different ways now?
Yes, that's a good question. They are. They're, the way the game is played on the field is different. See, it's not the analytics thing is sort of the acquisition of players aspect of it is not as important as it used to be. What's more important now, where you'll see the latest allocation of the analytical data is on the field itself. So, for instance, defensive shifts. So, it's like the tactics in football where, are you going to, go 4-3-3, 4-2-4, things like that. It's now we have defensive shifts. We have instead of the traditional lineups that we've seen for a century, Now when you get a guy, say a left-handed batter who always pulls the ball and hits to right field, they move the fielders over now. They'll move them over to play against the statistical data of where this guy hits the ball. And it gets deeper than that. It's where he hits the ball against this pitcher, or where he hits the ball against a fastball or a slider, you know, or a curveball. So it gets deep into that. Also, you're seeing pitchers are being removed from games much sooner than they used to be. There's data that shows that, you know, the third time that you face a batter in a game, he's got the advantage on you. So they'll take, it used to be, you know, you had an old horse and that guy was going to go 9 innings.
Yeah.
No one could take him out of the game.
Yeah.
And now it's like, up, third time around the batting order, you're out and we're bringing in the next guy.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's statistical data to show the pitcher. They sit down, they show them, they say, look, when you throw a slider, the other team hits it, you know, for home run.
Yeah.
When you throw a fastball in, they ground out. And pitchers used to be kind of stubborn. They throw what they want to throw. But
yeah.
Now you've shown this data, and they're like, oh, okay. So that it's really changed the way the game is played on the field.
Okay, very interesting. And is there a star player whose story is kind of capturing the imagination, or is it some of the guys you've mentioned? I mean, the Lionel Messi of baseball sounds rather impressive, and Justin Verlander, yeah, the pitcher. These guys are to the forefront in how the game's been packaged and sold?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you watch, you'll see, for instance, there's a guy named Justin Turner,
yeah,
for the Dodgers. And this guy has a huge red beard, and it's just, you know, it's captivating looking at him with this huge red beard and long red hair. The Dodgers also have this guy, Jock Peterson, who hit a big home run last night, and he did this crazy dance around the bases, which is a bit of a no-no in baseball.
Mm.
You also have, I don't know if you've heard about this, but the first baseman for the Astros named Yuli Gurriel, was caught on camera making a bit of a racist gesture toward the Japanese pitcher.
Right.
And, you know, he did the squinty eye thing, which is a big no-no. And he got suspended for 5 games, but not until next year. So he can play in the World Series. And when he came up to bat last night, oh, the booing. He got cheered in Houston after this incident. But when he got to the plate last night, the booing was incredible. And the pitcher for the Dodgers was Rich Hill, who's a very smart guy, very, very interesting guy. And Rich Hill stepped off the mound to let the booing really resonate and sink in. And he said afterwards that he did it on purpose because he really objected to what this guy did, and he wanted to let the crowd let him know that it was wrong.
Wow.
So there are a bunch of, there's a bunch of sort of compelling side stories. The other issue is that all the pitchers are exhausted. They're tired. They've thrown a million pitches and a zillion innings. So they're really exhausted.
Those guys just have their elbows in ice pretty much 24/7.
Yeah, pretty much. Ice and heat and aspirin and heat and ice. But you got to, they usually walk around after the game with huge ice packs on their arms.
One other side point here. This has been a season, I know, where the home run numbers have been off the charts, really back to the steroid age or surpassing the steroid age. Are people getting a bit queasy about this and raising eyebrows? Or is there, I mean, I know there's been speculation about the balls, that they're trying to almost, they've changed the balls to, these millennials of short attention spans, they want home runs. So the game is catering for that.
That's right.
Or is there any worry that we're flirting with some steroids again?
You know, nobody is ever going to rule that out anymore. You know, we've learned our lesson. You never say, no, this guy's not doing it. So I think, you know, there's always a little thought in the back of your mind, like, wow, do these guys discover something new that can't be tested for? The ball definitely seems to be flying farther than it used to, and that's been the case all season. So that's you know, people wonder if they tinker with that. But you know, Joe, from the World Cup, every time there's a World Cup, there's the issue is the ball. It swerves, it goes funny, it's too slick, the goalies can't get, you know, there's always something like that. So kind of similar in baseball too. And here's the other thing about it: when there's a lot of home runs, pitchers think the ball is juiced.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's the case.
Enjoy Game 7. It's on in Dodger Stadium, by the way, I should tell people. Yes. Opened in 1962. It's hosted the Beatles, the Pope, the Rolling Stones, the Harlem Globetrotters. Never has Dodger Stadium seen Game 7 of a World Series.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful place. It really is. It's a sort of a classic ballpark tucked into to a ravine with a beautiful view. One side is downtown Los Angeles that you see in movies, and the other side is these beautiful hills. And it's really kind of a classic park.
Very good. David Wahlstein of the New York Times. It's been lovely to catch up again, sir. Thank you very much.
See you in Russia, Joe.
Off the ball.
On News Talk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.